Welcome back to class on parenthood. Missed you guys last week, but I trust you had a good time with the other class. And we're going to be picking back up now in the next section, the final section of our class. We're headed to the home stretch here. We've talked about the purpose of parenthood, the principles of parenthood, the practice of parenthood, the persons of parenthood, thinking about gender, phases of parenthood, and now we're just going to talk about some practical matters, what I'm going to call the pitfalls and proverbs of parenthood. And today we'll think about 10 questions about technology and social media. It'll be lesson 17. I think in the workbook it says 16, but that's a typo. Yeah, we have two lesson 16s back to back, so it's lesson 17. Let me pray and we'll get it started. If you don't have a book, just sit next to somebody who has one. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to come again together as your people to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd through his word. As it's taught faithfully, we pray that you would help us to hear his voice today and to follow him. And as we think about parenthood again, and specifically the challenges and the opportunities that technology affords us, we pray that you would help us to be good stewards, to be faithful, to walk wisely in this world, that we might take captive all things for Christ and use them for his glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Electronic narcotic. You heard that phrase? Face magnet or portable babysitter. These are just some of the synonyms for your smartphone, your tablet, and other such devices. From writing to friends, to knowing the latest news almost instantly, to watching a funny video, to checking in with your spouse, or getting everyone back together at the mall, or listening to music, or to a sermon during our commute, to email, to task lists, to calendars, to movies, need I go on? Okay, technology is a part of our life. It's everywhere, right? We have an internet of things. The question is that a problem? Is that a problem for you? What about for your kids? Albert Mohler noted a study by the Kaiser Family Foundation on this issue, saying, as anyone who knows a teen or tween can attest, media are among the most powerful forces in young people's lives today. 8 to 18-year-olds spend more time with media than in any other activity besides maybe sleeping. An average of more than 7.5 hours a day, 7 days a week. So technology is with us. And whether good or bad, one thing is certain, technology is affecting us, and it is affecting our children. And because it has become literally a part of everyday life, most of us may not think about this very much day to day, because it's just like the air that we breathe. On the whole, we probably view technology and social media as neutral, like books or movies, right? It's fine if used properly. Now, that said, however, I do want to offer a call to care and to pause here, and maybe even a warning. Certain technologies can have dangers that are inherent in them. John MacArthur, he put it this way in an interview with Mark Dever. He said, now people have in their hand what is essentially a deadly weapon, the most forceful tool for life-destroying temptation that's ever been put into the human hand. You've never been able to bring temptation at that level, visually, audibly, with that availability in history. You can pollute yourself faster and more extensively than ever. What a line, right? You can pollute yourself faster and more extensively than ever. So it's imperative that we stop and think about this, and even those outside of the church understand this. Neil Postman, who was a secular humanist, he wrote in his book Technopoly that a family that does not or cannot control the information environment of its children is barely a family at all, and may lay claim to the name only by virtue of the fact that its members share biological information through DNA. That the family can no longer do this is, I believe, obvious to everyone. Interestingly, Postman wrote this in 1992. That was 33 years ago. He died in 2003. Well, this discussion. Is Postman right? Okay, have families lost the battle? How do we know? And does the Bible give us any guidance, especially as parents, in the area of technology and social media? Before I get into what I have to say today, what do you guys think? Is Postman right? Have families lost the battle? Yeah.
Unless you're homeschooling, it was our experience even when our kids were growing up, if you send them to school, any school, even a good Christian school, you don't get a choice anymore whether they're on the internet. They are all day long in school. You have to allow them access or they can't go to school.
Yeah. Other insights or comments?
I don't know if I agree that we've lost the battle, but it certainly has raised the stakes considerably higher. I mean, what parents faced today when we were homeschooling our kids, and homeschooling was relatively safe. I mean, it was a, quote, safe choice, but there's plenty of threats to the homeschool movement as well. It's just, you just gotta be diligent. And even then,
your kids are smarter than you in technology, and you can do everything you possibly can, and they still, if they want to, will find a way. So you have to be as diligent as you can.
I was just gonna say it's like it's kind of uncharted territory for a lot of people. A lot of parents, they don't know. Because it's so much more technology than what we had as kids. Even me, who, I feel like I was just a kid the other day, but it's changed so much already. And the internet is fast and available. I mean, it's not dial-up anymore, but that I started, growing up with. And very young, you have the internet. It's new. It's hard to think about what to do, right, as a parent, because you don't have experience. That's part of the struggle. Because you don't have an example from your own parents.
Right. I mean, I as a millennial, I grew up with kind of some kind of transfer between the ages. Right? I still remember what dial-up was. And, having to, draft all my emails and then put them in an outbox and send them out once, so we only tied up the phone line one time. My kids don't know what that is. But I was way ahead of my parents. But my kids are going to, our kid, this generation is way ahead of us. So it's hard to keep up.
I would just say that while doing what you can to regulate what your children have access to is important, I don't want to downplay that. I don't think it is the most important. Proverbs is not full of examples of the father making sure his child can't have access to the street of the wayward woman. It is full of examples of him warning his son of the dangers and presenting the path of wisdom and trusting God and the whole, trusting God through the Holy Spirit to protect him from these dangers that were out there even thousands of years ago.
It's a battle that's not lost. I agree with Bill, but it's a battle that's really hard. I'm not going to even use the word win, because ultimately the Lord's in charge of the heart. And if your kid's heart isn't right, it's going to find a way.
Good thoughts, good discussion. I'm going to frame the question again. Does the Bible give us any guidance, especially as parents, in the area of technology and social media? And to help us answer that, Lord willing, I want to offer 10 questions that I hope will help us test from Scripture the effect of technology in our lives and homes, especially as parents. And our goal is not to draw bright lines, right? You can do this, can't do that. But to encourage us to think together about this important topic. As the Apostle Peter said, whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. as the CSB says, people are enslaved to whatever defeats them. So what, for our purposes today, when I say technology, I mean information technology, including the internet, laptops, iPads, smartphones, communications devices, and entertainment devices such as TVs, media players. I don't even know what that looks like today. Could be Alexas, you know. I have iPods, but this was an old lesson. They don't have those anymore. Video games. And by social media, I mean, you know, Facebook, Google+, X or Twitter, whatever it's called today, Instagram, iMessage, Snapchat, Tumblr, Pinterest, Reddit, LinkedIn, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And as to all of these tools, I believe God's word has much to say. Okay? So with that, 10 questions. Number one, is it helping us to be present? And especially present in our families. And this may seem like a strange question, right? Don't technology and social media help us be present everywhere? That's the beauty of having a blog and a Twitter account and having, you know, these FaceTime and all these things. Well, not always, not exactly. When I say be present, I'm thinking again of Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of the key texts for this class. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. And as we said when we discussed family worship, God's word should be the constant subject of our conversation, right? Something that we impress upon our children when we sit at home and walk along the road, when we lie down and get up. And hopefully you see the point here. Like the television when I was growing up, the phone is becoming an electronic foster parent. We should not delegate our job of influencing our children to the phone or to the tablet. And I don't mean just the technology, because the technology is simply the gateway to other people, including their friends and many who are not their friends. And it's our privilege and responsibility to talk with them when they get up and when they lie down about God's commands. So in our house, you know, our kids will leverage tech at times for learning and for play. But their online time is strictly limited and monitored. They may not have devices alone in their rooms, for example. Dads and moms, here's a word to us as well. We need to put the phones down. Be present together as a family, okay? The emails will wait. The blog post can be read later. And no one cares about the picture of your meal. They really don't. On the upside, technology can help us be present. Some of us can work from home from time to time, okay? FaceTime, Skype, rest in peace. If you know about that, just ended. Google Meets, right? That can be really helpful if you generally have to be gone. All right, so say you're deployed abroad with the military, okay? Numerous soldiers have seen their newborns via these, you know, things. What a blessing. I was just in Peru, and I was able to call my family every day and see their faces. What a blessing, okay? Also, consider the blessing of leaving a lifetime of scripture-laden emails or even videos to your children after you're gone. How easy it is to make videos these days. I remember as a kid, my dad had, you know, he carried on this huge thing trying to document family trips, and man, it's so much easier to record videos and store them, okay? A New Yorker cartoon once showed a little girl asking where Grandpa was. Her mother said, "He's in the cloud." But in seriousness, though, consider the blessing of easily storing messages to your children. Okay. Again, so is technology helping or hindering you from being present? Okay. Yes. You have to diagnose these questions. Okay. Ask it to yourself and your families. Okay. Number two, is it helping us to be alert? Have you ever noticed how many times Scripture commands us to be alert? To be watchful, to stay awake, and how easily technology and social media can render us lulled and sleepy and distracted by our longing for the next info snack. Think of the poor guy walking into a light pole while texting. A perfect metaphor for our culture and for many of us, perhaps, maybe, and for our kids. So pick your head up and look where you're going. And we have to remember that final judgment is coming, right? Life is moving, and we're staring at our face magnet, you know, texting? Are we looking and watching for chances to serve? You know, or are we playing Angry Birds? In one sense, I get that temptation. You know, maybe you've had a long day, you're tired. Take a couple minutes to zone out. But perhaps we're too ready with that excuse. Richard Neuhaus speaks of listlessness, of evenings without number, obliterated by television, evenings neither of entertainment nor of education, but of narcotized defense against time and duty. Father and mother, by your habits with technology, do you teach your children to be content to swim in the shallows and pass their time with passing the time? If your family at times seems addled by technology, consider memorizing this scripture, that it is already the hour for you to wake from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So, is technology helping or hindering you from being alert? Okay. I'm going to keep just going through these, and maybe we'll pause halfway. Is it helping us to be transformed? Number three. God commands us, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. There's a pattern to how the world thinks, and that pattern just presses itself on us, right? Forces us, if it can, to conform. And surely the endless bombardment of information from technology and social media is a worldliness delivery system. Unequaled, really, in human history. Nicholas Carr, in his book, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, collects an impressive array of research showing that our brains are like plastic, and what we run through them carves deep channels that are hard to remove. Think about that. Technology actually shapes your brain. That's scientific support for what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. The world would conform you, so be transformed by God's word. Carve biblical channels in your brain. Now here, technology can also be very helpful, okay? It's never been easier to read, hear, see, memorize, share, study, understand scripture because of technology. But friends, remember, our minds are being conformed to something, and so we need to be mindful of what is shaping us. And we must also ask, if our brains are wired that way, what about our children's and their developing brains? What channels are you helping to carve in your children's brains? So run God's words through them day and night. Help them be transformed by the whole Bible, meditating on it with them throughout the day. And yes, leverage technology to assist you in this. One of the things that we're doing this year is we're reading through a Bible reading plan. And our kids have their print Bibles, but we use a Bluetooth speaker to project an audio Bible. And then we play a YouTube video with short devotion on those passages afterwards. So it's kind of a combo, okay? Trying to use technology to help us, okay? So is technology helping or hindering you from being transformed into the image of Christ? Number four, is it helping us to grow in wisdom? Information technology can blur the distinction between knowledge and wisdom. We need to remember that biblically, what's new is not always better, and more is not always best. The latest blog post may well be less valuable than something written 500 years ago. Indeed, it probably is less valuable, since the blog post hasn't yet lasted 500 years. We need to help our children see that they live in a swamp of often entirely useless information, and teach them how to find sources of true wisdom. Okay, so this may mean simply shutting off the games and media and handing them books, especially older ones. And for us, among other things, this means encouraging our kids to read real physical books and not just new ones. Is technology helping or hindering you from growing in wisdom? Let me do one more here and then I'll pause for some discussion. Number five, is it helping us to be patient? And I'll try to make this point quick. The name of the game in technology is speed, okay? Faster processors, more bandwidth, quicker downloads. We've already talked about this with the whole dial-up references. Okay? But repeatedly, we're taught in Scripture that the wise man is patient, okay? Long-suffering. patient waiting for his farming to yield fruit, patient with others' faults, patient waiting for the Lord's coming. This means we must be able to focus, to hold our attention on the long view of things, and not always be looking for the next snack from our Facebook feed. A Christian psychiatrist noted one of the big problems with technology and social media that he sees in children and all of us is that it teaches us to demand everything right away. We don't learn resilience and perseverance, say with a long book or a difficult problem. And this is true for adults and for children. So I trust you see the point here. Children need to be taught to persevere and develop patience and limiting their time before the flitting screen can help. Consider the scenario of whether or not to let kids have audio or video on road trips. Okay, it's something we wrestle with, especially on those long ones. Okay, what's the balance here? I don't necessarily have the right answer, okay? But you got to think about it. Don't train your children to be entertained 24/7. That's what I would say. It is not realistic that anyone will cater to your needs, getting what you want when you want it. Okay, this is not setting your kids up for success. Ask yourself, if I let them do this now, what will they demand of me in 5 or 6 years? Why is it impossible for a child to sit through a sermon now when it used to be normal? Could it be that we've discipled children to be endlessly entertained through media? Right? Is technology helping or hindering you from being patient? All right, let me pause there before I do the second half of this. Hopefully that jots some of your thoughts. How have you been... in these first 5 categories, what have you seen some helpfulness and success in your parenting, or maybe some challenges that you'd like to talk about?
Justin. So we're all engaged in spiritual warfare, and I think you see this played out really often in technology, especially part about being aware. We know that that spiritual warfare, talking about powers and principalities, is translated into real-world warfare, and this is one of the areas that that happens. There are nation states or individuals that are using technology to try to change the way we think about things, including Christians, and so I think we need to be really, really aware of the things that we're looking at, the things that we're consuming in terms of spiritual warfare. It's translated into real, actual warfare. There is a war going on for the minds of believers, and we need to be aware of that and to be awake to that. And, you know, anything that we read on social media, and the moment you trust that social media person, we have to make sure that we compare it against God's word and what's actually true. So I just think it's really important to always be aware of what we're consuming, and know that there actually may be people that are trying to change their minds,
and the real operations that are happening. Yeah, very good comment on, especially number 2, right? Help to be alert. Yeah, thank you. Other comments? Or questions?
We have to guard against the times where letting them have media is for our own laziness and benefit, but we have to put the energy into helping to make attractive the things in real life that they should be doing and doing things together. That, you know, some of the kids in my life now, anytime you offer up a screen, that's what they're going to choose. But if, you know, even the 2-year-old, when she's saying, I watch Miss Rachel, and you say, why don't we go outside and find bugs instead? Or let's go work in Gigi's garden, you know, whatever. They'll take that in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But you have to be willing to do real life with them and not take the easy road.
Going back to the being alert, I think as parents that we have experienced as well, you know, we thought we were alert, right? And still attacked. And so be vigilant times 10. You know, you're really going to have to seek out wisdom and help and trust but verify.
Yeah.
With our kids, mm-hmm. No matter how old they are.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Sure.
The technology is still changing, and I think AI is kind of the next thing that's going to be attacking us. And what you said about has the book or the scripture or the text stood the test of time is going to be, I think, pretty apparent. I think we're going to have this like dividing line of pre-AI text, post-AI text, where you don't know if this stuff that's going to come out soon is going to ever be created by it, an actual human behind it, or it's not going to stand the test of time, so I don't know. It's just going to change again, right? We're going to have to learn to adapt to what changes, and there'll be more attacks on the kids, on the devices, and propaganda will be, you know, used widely, I think. So.
And your kids are going to be drawn to that. No matter if they're public school or middle school.
I think going back to what Joey was saying is making sure, like in Proverbs, he didn't just keep his children from it, but he taught them how to stay away from it or how to steer their mind in the direction that they need to be going. And so regular Bible studies with our kids, and even if things come up, talking it through and making sure they understand things. We have to be extra vigilant because they are thrown so much all the time.
I'm going to continue from 6 through 10 here, and then maybe we'll have some more time at the end here. So, number 6, thank you for your contributions. Is it helping us to be content? Many of us are visual gluttons. We always need new information or more information, and we lack self-control. As Ephesians says, enslaved to the continual lust for more, more cognitive content, more novelty. Author Nicholas Carr writes of discovering that he can no longer concentrate on his work without stopping to check the web. At first, I'd figured that the problem was a symptom of middle-aged mind rot. But my brain, I realized, wasn't just drifting. It was hungry. It was demanding to be fed the way the net fed it. And the more it was fed, the hungrier it became. Even when I was away from my computer, I yearned to check email, click links, do some Googling. I wanted to be connected. It's from a book he wrote, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. Surely an apt description of this is chasing after the wind. As the writer of Ecclesiastes told us, of making many books, there is no end, and that was thousands of years before the printing press. Here's an important question. Can you and your children take a day or two off from social media or texting? Can you avoid your Twitter feed for a day? Can you take an afternoon off from email? Could you skip the games for a week? And you may say your answer is yes to all of these. Great. But will you do it? What would it look like for you to take a family technology fast? Okay. And why not find out? I remember we did that as a family, and I thought it was, I protested as a kid. But it was good for me. It was good for our family. Is technology helping or hindering you from being content? Number 7, is it helping us to be real? The gospel is not a game. Jesus' love did not cost him his virtual life. He was real flesh and blood. He contended with a real Satan. He showed real courage. He felt real pain. He was nailed to a real cross, and he experienced a real bodily resurrection. Now, don't get me wrong. If online fantasy literature and games inspire hope of heaven, and motivation to accomplish real exploits, they may be worthwhile, okay? And stirring our imaginations towards noble ends. So I'm not, you know, discounting fiction altogether. But if these sources instead play the deceiver, making you feel a sense of courage and accomplishment or a real romantic connection when you've accomplished nothing in the real physical world, then they are false, okay? Jesus calls us to love real families and real church members with real sins and real difficulties leading to real joy. So here I want to come to a very important word for all parents, but especially, especially for parents of boys, but especially increasingly a challenge for girls as well. This is a quote from Russell Moore. I don't always find him helpful, but this is a really helpful quote. Okay? Pornography promises orgasm or pleasure without intimacy. Video warfare promises adrenaline without danger. The arousal that makes these so attractive is ultimately spiritual to the core. This is a generation mired in fake love and fake war, and that is dangerous. A man who learns to be a lover through porn will simultaneously love everyone and no one. A man obsessed with violent gaming can learn to fight everyone and no one. The answer to both addictions is to fight arousal with arousal. Set forth the gospel vision of a Christ who loves his bride and who fights to save her. And then let's train our young men to follow Christ by learning to love a real woman, sometimes by fighting his own desires and the spirit beings who would eat him up. Let's teach our men to make love and to make war for real. In short, our children need courage to love and to fight, to nurture and to protect and to work in the real world. How can we encourage this? By all means, okay, start putting up boundaries and acting time limits, placing stuff off limits, installing filters. Those are all good. But we should also teach them how to respond when they've run across something they shouldn't have. Even filter providers will say, don't just rely on the filter. A filter won't help when your son is handed a phone by a friend with a pornographic picture on the screen. Okay? Assume your children will see things they shouldn't and teach them how to respond when they see it, i.e. to flee, and if necessary, to repent. One book I want to recommend here that we've done with our kids is Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Porn-Proofing Today's Young Kids. Get a copy and read it with your children. More than once. This is something for us to think about as well, as the social media world allows us to create a totally private world that feeds selfishness and pride. One recent evangelical pastor had numerous online anonymous accounts that he would use to basically trash other pastors who he would invite to his conferences. And he was recently disqualified from ministry. And it all militates against genuine fellowship. On the one hand, we can consume and enjoy whatever we want. We are used to listening to or watching what we want, when we want, where we want. And we create our own private worlds, which very often others don't know about. As MacArthur put it in the same interview I mentioned earlier, he says, it can now be that you don't know my world. I'm not going to tell you about my world because my world is now infected with things that I can't tell you that I don't want you to know. More than that, we control what others see of us. I not only create my world, I create myself. The only me you're going to know is the me I'm willing to tweet. The only me you're going to know is the me I want you to think I am, right? We have these carefully curated online personalities and platforms, and it's not real. And this can make it a challenge to help our kids to grow up being honest, authentic, sympathetic, humble, and genuine. So if we do help them to be those things, and they're not quite as slick at communicating in the virtual realm, they'll be fine. One last side tip for keeping the internet real. Have your kids use technology to teach them to do real things, okay? You can teach your kids to code using iPad apps, okay? Learn a real skill. We regularly refer to YouTube for all kinds of instruction. There's lots of helpful videos on how to do things there, okay? Sewing, fixing toys, building fires, okay? Use it for those purposes. Consider, too, are your kids using technology and social media to select their friends and overlooking their real neighbors? Okay, is technology helping or hindering you from being real? Number 8, is it helping us to pray? When Jesus faced overwhelming crowds, he went to desolate places to pray. Do you and your children know how to find desolate places? Can you still your mind enough to pray, to think over a passage and pray it back to God? Can you sustain a line of thought as you talk with God about an issue in your life or your family? Do you and your children look at news stories as occasions for prayer? Do you pray over emails you receive? Peter writes, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. I read an interesting book some years ago. It's a preaching book, Why Johnny Can't Preach. And the subtitle is How the Media Has Shaped the Messenger. And the basic argument is he can't preach. Johnny can't preach because he can't read and he can't write texts. Because he's so addicted to devices, he hasn't learned the hard fundamental skills of reading and writing. And it just makes me think about future preachers are going to be the kids who learn how to read and write and aren't addicted to tablets and things like this. This goes back to the AI conversation. People ask, how did you become a preacher? It's like, well, part of it was the education and training I received as a child. I mean, God uses all kinds of forming influences to form somebody as a minister. We got to be thinking about these things. Let me go back to praying. Sorry, that was not in my notes. The challenge here is not merely that technology is distracting. It promises its own escape from stress, right? A God alternative. Video games, movies, news sites would have us leave our problems behind and enter another world. But God himself wants to be our refuge. So when faced with a moment of stress, would you or your child rather zone on the internet or pray? Right, make a habit of praying throughout the day at all times, right, with your kids, especially when tempted to anxiety. And train them not to run to the screen, but to Jesus. Is technology helping or hindering you from praying? Number 9, is it helping us to be humble? Does social media enable you to live a life of well-tended pride, cultivating your public face, your long list of friends? Do you consider your motives when you share a success or your kid's success on Facebook? Does it inspire you to envy others? Right? Teach your children about the temptation to fear men, to sinfully compare ourselves to others, and how pride can be behind or be fed by what we post, especially through these social media tools. Okay? Is technology helping or hindering you from being humble? And then number 10, is it helping us to be stewards? We've been warned to multiply our talents and to avoid dissipation. Ephesians says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is the opportunity cost of your time with technology? Keep a log of the hours. Proverbs calls young men to diligent labor. The Proverbs 31 woman was not reading romance novels all day. Okay, she was married to a real man with real children, running a real household, staying up real late and getting up real early. And yes, I realize she was a composite person, but she's a picture of how our girls are to aspire to real accomplishment. And yes, technology can be a multiplier and a help. I can get caught up on key events in the world that affect my work in the first 30 minutes of a day, or I can waste the first 30 minutes surfing the headlines instead of praying. Our family has learned all sorts of things about God's creation as we Google or Alexa or ask Siri some interesting question that came up in conversation. Gospel blogs and sermon sites can be helpful. I mean, what great access to listen to God's word preached, right, through technology. But still we must ask, is technology helping or hindering us from being good stewards of our time? And then a bonus question, because 10 is better than 11, so, but I'm throwing this in. Is it helping me to be holy? James 1:27 puts it fairly plainly. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Likewise, Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with everyone and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And then Paul told Timothy to flee youthful passions. Remember MacArthur's comment earlier, the most forceful tool for life-destroying temptation that's ever been put into the human hand is talking about the smartphone. Okay, whether it's temptation to pornography or to emotional fornication or to pride, we must be honest about whether our use of technology is enabling us to think about whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. All right, and it can be that kind of help. But if it's not, we need to confess that and seek the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ to bring even our smartphone use under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then teach and help our children to do the same. Okay. We have about 3 or 4 more minutes. Any comments or questions on these last questions?
Closer to Christ or closer to the world each time we sit down and access it.
Any other thoughts?
I'm just saying finding things to do without the use of technology can be super helpful if you're just feeling every time you pick up a phone or a computer, you suddenly feel tempted to do things that you don't want to spend time doing. Just being able to put that aside and take a break from it, because, you know, whether it's, you know, reading an actual book or, you know, doing something outdoors or whatever, playing a board game with your family, or, you know, even picking up an instrument and playing music and singing rather than listening to music on a phone, you know, finding things that you can do that don't involve technology can just be so helpful if you just need to put it aside and not be tempted by that for a little while.
The bottom line to contemplate is this, and this is just channeling what you guys were saying, is technology helping or hindering us and our families from serving our God, from being holy? Are we mastering it, or is it mastering us? Okay. I have some examples here for digital boundaries. Again, this is not because I think, according to Colossians 2, that legalism or asceticism are actually useful in pursuing Christ. We know that's not going to work in and of itself, but I think these can be helpful examples of cutting off your right hand and gouging out your right eye. Okay, so I just have those there as some suggestions. Find what is useful for you and helpful. And may God give us grace to use technology for his glory alone. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the edifying contributions of our brothers and sisters. We pray that you would help us to think wisely about these things and to pursue you and to run hard after you and to be faithful with the use of the tools and the common grace gifts that you give, which can always be used for good or for evil. Help us to use them for noble ends for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.